This is Yolanda Robbins, your host of the Paris Property Chronicles. In this episode of the Paris Property Chronicles, my guest is Tony Eddington, a retired chef who began his journey in the Bay Area of San Francisco and now lives in Hawaii with his wife, Jasmine. In 2019, they purchased and renovated a property in the San Marguerite neighborhood of the 11th District just before the pandemic hit. Listen to how this culinary expert enjoys his pied-à-terre while discovering all the scrumptious delights which Paris has to offer. Tony, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Paris Property Chronicles. Where are you calling us from today?
Well, actually, I'm calling you from Central Valley, California. I'm visiting some friends, getting ready to go to my 50th high school reunion.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it will.
Can you tell us where you were born and where you grew up and where you're based now, generally?
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. I lived in the city until the Summer of Love, 1968, and we moved to the East Bay. And I went through high school, junior high, et cetera, there. Met my wife there in high school. And went to college, Southern California, and then lived there all the way until about 1984. And then I moved around a bit and moved to Hawaii, Maui, in 1995, and been living there for the last 27 years. I love it.
Oh wow, that's a great place to have your primary residence.
Yes, actually, I worked at a hotel there, and we bought a house in the main city, and I thought I'd have my retirement house out in the country. But as it turns out, that didn't work out so much. I moved in and kind of liked it and decided to get another space to live in, which would be the Paris place.
All right, great. So you're retired, but when you were working, tell us what you did professionally.
Well, I was a chef, chef de cuisine, which a lot of people say chef, which in French means boss, but chef de cuisine, executive chef at the hotel. I worked with Starwood, Westin, Four Seasons, and I did that in New York, San Francisco, Aspen. And when I kind of semi-retired in my late 50s, I went to Southeast Asia, Malaysia and China, enjoyed them both, very hot. And now I'm fully retired, so just hanging out in Maui.
Just tell share with our listeners when you first visited Paris and when you developed an interest in the French or Parisian culture.
Well, actually, it started out, we went in high school on one of those, summer trips in 1972. It was my first trip to Paris, and I loved it. Then later on in my career, when I changed it, I used to be working computers for the County of Alameda, and they had this thing called Prop 13, which really structured everything. And so I changed careers and decided I wanted to become a chef. And I had a friend of mine who, Jonathan Waxman, is fairly well known, said, I know a place that you can go. And it was La Varenne in Paris in the 6th, right near Invalides. And so in 1985, my wife and I sold our house in California and shipped off to Paris. And I loved it. In fact, for about the next 10 years, I used to say it was the best year of my life. But as I wised up, I realized there were other years. So now it's one of the best three. One of the others being those years in California when I was a kid. It was great, And then that year in Paris. And now that I live in Maui, one of these wonderful years in Maui. But the French cuisine and the culture was the real draw back in the 70s. And then when I went to live there, we lived there for about 2 years, moved around. We lived in the 6th at first, and then we went to the 18th, and then we went to Montmartre, and then we lived in the 16th. And so I got to see a lot of it. And, everybody travels on the metro and all that. So I felt like I was right at home.
So when you were here in the early 80s or mid 80s, you went to school at La Varenne. But if I remember correctly, you and your wife were also married in Paris.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we decided to get married, and it was kind of one of those happenstance. Because I was a student, I was able to get a carte de séjour. And it was kind of one of those things where a lot of people, you know, you first come and you don't follow through. So I happened to go to it. We were in the sixth where we were living at the time, and we went in, and it was really a, how shall I say, it wasn't easy. You know, the French bureaucracy back then was lived up to its reputation. And so we had a hearing, and I went to that, and then they said, come back, you know, in 2 weeks. And everybody else kind of got a thing that said, come back, you know, somewhere between the 15th and the 30th of the month. Mine said, come on the 17th at 10 o'clock, etc. So I actually went. Turns out I got the carte de séjour, and then my wife and I were thinking, you know, we're here, we should get married in Paris. So we went down to the prefect and asked them, what did you need? And the first thing out of their mouth is, you have to have a carte de séjour, which I just happened to have. So we did the whole routine. A bunch of our friends came. Well, actually, mostly three or four family members and their friends from school. And it was quite spectacular. We ended up staying at the George Cinq, which it was funny. I went, you know, I didn't tell my wife what I was going to do. So I went and I made this reservation for what was a fairly small room. Told them it was my wedding and all of that. So we come to the hotel. And they goes, you know, I'm sorry, Mr. Eddington, but the room you requested is, you know, not available. And I'm like, oh, what happened? They go, the air conditioner's broken, but we have another room. So we went in. It was a suite, you know, two bedrooms, two separate bathrooms, the bedroom down at the end, the sitting room and all of this. And I was like, wow, completely taken away, blown away, and a bottle of champagne. And so then my wife goes, well, can I see the other room? It was, you know, I thought not worth doing, but we go in and look at it, and it was like the closet of the room we were in. So it was a great experience. Very good. I loved it. And we have pictures.
Well, it's a good thing your wife asking to see the other room didn't get you transferred to that another room, and that you got to stay in the suite for your honeymoon in Paris.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, and in fact, we had my mother had come over and a friend of ours, so they came by to see us, and they were, you know, they were impressed. They're like, "How did you rate this?" I didn't have to tell them that it was a mistake, but it was good, very good.
That's great. So tell us why. I mean, you've had this great background in Paris. You got married there. You went to French cooking school there. You spent your second career as a chef in various hotels throughout the world. Tell us when and how you decided to purchase a property in Paris.
Well, it was probably at the beginning of 2016 or 17. We had met a friend, actually, when we got married back in 84, 85, who had lived in Paris and had an apartment. So we had come back to see her, and then she moved to Burgundy. So we would go to see her every 2 or 3 years and come back and stay in Paris. And we kept saying, you know, this is such a nice thing. Why don't we do this more often? So we decided to start coming every year. And then you kind of say, well, if we're coming every year, maybe we should do something. And so about, oh, I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago, we had some money that came our way. And it's kind of like, what do we want to do? And that seemed like a good idea. So we had some friends, actually, expats, who John and Suzanne, who had bought, and so we started staying at their place. In the Marais, they had a little apartment. And so I started asking them. I tell her to this day, we wouldn't have bought the apartment without her assistance. And I said, well, was it difficult? And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, and this and that. And then they ended up selling the apartment because I guess apparently it's getting a little difficult to lease, do the B&B thing. So we were like, well, can we buy it? And they're like, oh, sorry, we already sold it. So I said, do you know anyone? And they said, yeah, we do happen to know someone who just happened to be you at the Mac Emo, and I was like, okay, you know, got an inside connection. And that was the beginning. So 2018, we started. 2019, we came out and started looking.
I remember it well. And we did a lot of walking.
Yes. Well, that was the thing, too, when we had lived here in 85 and 86. You know, I used to walk from the 6th to the 16th at night, you know, metro stop. So you're walking underneath the Tour Eiffel and by these beautiful doors. I used to love it. You know, you come around a corner, there'd be a light shining on this door, and it was just spectacular, you know, in the middle of nowhere. So I said, yeah, we've got a thing going, an attachment to the city. And we had, you know, what I think, an opportunity to come and visit and look, because you have to look. It's not standardized kind of shopping like America. You really have to see the building. You have to see the inside.
And I think we probably saw 6 to 8 properties during your visit when you were here for about a week.
Yeah, we actually did. I think we saw 6 and had 8 scheduled, but they sold before we got there, which kind of gave me some insight that the market was really hot. And if it's a good property, people will pick it up. So we went and saw some. And then actually, I recall we were walking down the street actually before the one that we bought. And there was a sign in the wall, you know, everybody has something. I said, let's go see, you know, this place. And the contrast was striking. You know, on the outside, the beautiful facade. On the inside, 1600 interior plumbing and all of that stuff that had needed upgrading. So the different class of properties was really clear. You know, the high end, the middle end, old, new, kind of associations and small buildings. It was definitely something you have to see. And then when we actually went to the one we ended up buying, we went and saw it. And as we were there looking at it, people kept coming in to look at it. And I'm kind of like, uh-oh, you know, we may have to make a move before anybody else. And we thought about it that night. And I said, yeah, we should make an offer. And we actually got you to come back over the next day. And we went and saw the guys. And they were like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm glad we did.
In the end, you purchased an apartment in the 11th between Voltaire and Nation on a street called Alexandre Dumas. So steeped in history. So besides the fact that a lot of people were looking at it, one of the things that in terms of the search that was important to you was the location and that it be near some interesting restaurants. And I think where you are, it is absolutely near some interesting restaurants. Why don't you tell us about the neighborhood?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. In the 11th, it's very much a people's neighborhood as opposed to really a tourist environment. And so it's not really that crowded. There are a lot of people who live there, which is kind of amazing because it's all 6-story buildings. And a lot of the interiors of the blocks have buildings in it. So even though it doesn't look that crowded, I think it's the most densely populated part of Paris. And it has Boulevard Voltaire, which runs down between Place de la République and Nation. So there's a lot of traffic, people and things traveling back and forth. And it's the typical route for their demonstrations or, you know, whatever. So that was one of the things, you know, you get to see a lot of action. And, you know, there's restaurants, like you said, across the street, there's Flugerons, which has a rotating chef. There's Le Dalou around at Nation, which is, you know, your brasserie that's open all the time. Great oysters. I love it. And Republic has so many restaurants on it. Septième is there. Le Chardonnay. It's just a great place. And then there's all the little shops with the pizza and the sushi and that kind of stuff. And the metro stop is literally right on the corner. The baker is on the corner. There's a grocery right around the corner. And then there's all kinds. And we have the marché up on Wednesday and Saturday at Charon. It was kind of ideal, even though I didn't know it at the time. As you start to get into the neighborhood, you find everything you need. you know, from there's a seamstress, a shoemaker, all of those little things that people need who lives there that you can find.
It really sounds like the ideal location for you to be when you're in Paris and very well situated. One of the things you did when you purchased your apartment was you decided that you would get a mortgage, which was a very challenging feat, but you were able to finance 50% of the purchase. And at the time, you got some really good rates. Tell us a little bit about that process and where you ended up with the rates, which are now starting to rise again.
Yeah, and actually, that's kind of interesting. We did actually have enough money to purchase the house, but you know, typically being Americans, you try to find out if it's there's ability to finance. So we actually found the guy, David, that you recommended, who actually is now a good friend, and I contact him quite often, to look for us a broker. And we went around and ended up finding the place at, can I say the name of the bank? Or yeah, at the Bank Palatine, and we had a 2% loan. Now, I'd done some financing and stuff back in California, and when I heard that, I said to my wife that my father would be mad at me if I didn't take out a loan at 2%, even if I didn't need it. So I said, yeah, let's do that. And we applied. You know, we had an excellent credit and actually had the cash available, which I guess for a French banker is almost required. You don't need the loan, and then they'll give it to you. So we applied and had a contingency in the purchase contract for that, which I gather you definitely need because it took almost to the end of the escrow period for them to come through with the loan. Also, we wanted to renovate. I mean, we bought the place, which was livable. I did not want to live in that kind of environment. I wanted to upgrade it to the modern amenities. So rather than buy a place and own it fully, I figured it'd be better to have a bit of a mortgage and fix it up. So we did a total renovation, which those funds came in handy. So I was going to say, I thought it was a worthwhile time. It was a little difficult. I don't know how many reams of paper I sent back and forth, and you know, had to have some of it translated and you know, and verified twice. But in the end, they came through. And you know, we turns out they've just changed the laws in Paris. Us being close to, we're over 60, you could not get a loan now that we did back then. And also they changed the ratios of how much you have to borrow. So I think we really got in at a fortunate time before it got a little more strict and actually before prices went up. So yeah, 2020, other than the COVID, was a good purchase time.
So we eventually closed in the third quarter of 2019, and then we started on the renovations. And as you said, it was a full renovation. And from beginning to end, I managed the process with the contractor and the tradesmen. And you can describe a little bit of what had to be done. We spent a lot of time on the kitchen because you're a chef. But it was scheduled to be done just before everything, all hell broke loose in March of 2020. But talk about the renovation first.
Yeah, well, it was really nice. We had an architect come in and, you know, they do the measurement and everything else. And, you know, so it was like 57 square meters. And it was divided in the séjour they had attached with the kitchen. And we said, let's, you know, redo this. And they had a very large bathroom. In fact, the largest bathroom that I'd seen in any of the apartments we looked at. So we decided we can divide that bathroom in half. We wanted to redo everything. They had gas. Unfortunately, I just heard about some explosions in buildings with the gas because of the bakery below and this and that. And I'm like, we're not going to be here, so let's not worry about gas. So we took out the gas. Which now, in light of the situation in Ukraine, was a good idea. Plus, electricity is fairly cheap comparatively to where I live in France. So we went with induction, electric everything, replaced all of the heaters. They're electric. And then, you know, we got to the point, well, let's just gut it to the studs, or in this case, the cement walls, stone walls. We took everything out. We had some pictures there, and it literally looked like an empty box in a shell. And we redid it. Our contractors, which I really, you know, I can highly recommend to anybody, did a great job. We did the electrical completely over, the plumbing over, moved the toilets, put in new walls, new doors, and even a faux fireplace, which, you know, as we understand now, you can't really use a fireplace, so there is no faux, but it looks good. And we then had some windows redone. The building was built in 1906, so, you know, it's kind of a nice houseman look, and they have the given requirements, so we were able to change the windows to the original, or back to the original from the vinyl ones they had. And we went through, I think, probably 4 or 5 revisions as we were working on, but most of it went according to plan. I really can't say we had too many hiccups along the way. And we also, I will congratulate you on our thorough shopping before. I mean, you know, picking all the fixtures, the colors, and all that turned out to be the saving grace, because we couldn't come back later to make any of those decisions. Having done it all and gone to, I don't know, the 6 or 7 stores that we went to and different purveyors, I thought was a real benefit. It looked like we thought it would look.
Well, I'm very glad that you're happy with the results. And you were scheduled to come in March of 2020, and we were 95% finished. And then we had to shut it down because of the pandemic. So your reveal was delayed by how many months? I can't even remember how many months was it.
It was actually a year, over a year. We didn't come in till the next, I believe it was April. So literally the place was finished. We had a reservation to fly into Paris. I think it was on the 21st of March. They closed it down to Americans on the 15th of March. We had actually gotten an attorney by then, and I was like, well, can't I pretend I'm on a business trip or anything else? And she's like, well, it might work. I said, well, we're importing all this furniture, you know, I'll bring over some pictures. And we're like thinking maybe, yeah. And then they proceeded to lock down the city. So I'm like, well, maybe we really don't want to go, because we wouldn't be able to go anywhere. So we didn't go. And then, you know, as everybody remembers, they just stopped all tourists and everything else from coming. And that was when we kind of went into phase 2, where we started selecting furniture, and you were generous enough to go to the stores and, you know, actually look at it and manage the delivery process, which, as it turns out, when we arrived, we actually could live there. A lot of people say, yeah, you get it renovated, and then when you come, you don't have any furniture, and a lot of things are, you know, handmade, so it'll take months to deliver. So by the time you get everything, you've left again. But we were able to have a bed there, the tables, chairs, and actually move in when we first arrived.
And tell me what you thought when you first walked into the apartment with the renovations and the furniture, and what your, did it meet your expectations?
Oh, yes. It was beyond expectations, actually. We had seen some pictures of it, but you don't really get the feel of a place until you're standing in it. And with the exposure that it has, it's very light. So it was, well, you know, we got there in the morning and the rooms were bright and it was cheerful. Everything is new. And in some ways, newer and better upgrade than our house back in Hawaii. And just being able to go to the bakery down, you know, right below us. We kind of live in a rural environment in Maui, and you have to drive everywhere. Well, to get anywhere, you have to drive. But in Paris, we're right there. So I was able to go out, you know, get a couple of pastries, get a beer and some wine, and come back to the house, and then start discovering the cheese shop. There's a wine store. All of these things were just available. So it met, you know, what we thought would be a nice environment. It made it into an excellent environment.
That's really nice to hear. Since owning the property, have there been any improvements to the building itself?
Yes, actually, that's kind of one of the things that as we went along, we understand, you know, the city has requirements of the exterior maintenance, and there's a homeowners association, or a syndic, as they call it. And we just were fortunate enough that they had had a vote before we bought the place to renovate the interior. So while we were renovating our apartment, they ended up doing all of the interior hallways, painting them, redoing the elevator, which, you know, we're on the third floor, but having an elevator is a blessing. We do go up and down the stairs quite a bit, but when you have, like, we come with luggage and all that, having that elevator is a blessing. So they redid that, the interior stairways, they refinished the stairs. We've got the big, wide wooden stairs, so they did need a bit of maintenance. And everybody, I gather, in the meeting was in agreement. So it was paid. So it happened, and we didn't have to pay for it, which is a kind of a nice little kicker.
That is really good. So that means, because the facade was also done before you moved in, you won't have significant assessments for some time now. Now that the facade, the interior, there might be a few. You also have a gardienne who's in the building who takes and collects your mail while you're away. Tell us a little bit about the restaurants in your neighborhood. So you started naming some, given your culinary background. Tell us about some of the places in the neighborhood and in the city that you like.
Well, actually, like I said, the Flugerons across the street is a really kind of a unique opportunity with the rotating chefs. They stay typically 2 to 3 months, so you can have three or four chefs, different chefs there. It has a fixed menu, which we've kind of gotten to the point where sometimes you like fixed menus and sometimes you want to be able to order a la carte. So, you know, that's why we go up. There's Le Dalieu. And then there's Septième, which actually is right around the corner and is kind of unassuming. We kind of walked by it a few times before we realized what we had there. And Cyril Linac is around the corner, the pastry shop, which is a mixed blessing, I must admit. I do have an online ordering ability. So we've had quite a few of their little tasty goods. I would say their chasseau aux pommes is just to die for. And then we have a boulangerie. They make all that stuff, and we go there 5 out of 6 times, and then once in a while for the little more exotic stuff down the street. There's a Chateau Savoyard, which does a bunch of the Swiss fondues, things like that. We found a nice little Arab, Café Beirut around the street. There's a couple of those, even in a Canadian, I think it is, beer store with like 200 beers, the equivalent of the wine store with beer. And like I said, we have the Marché on the weekends and the weekday, which is really, you know, being a chef is a thrill just to look at it. I don't even have to buy anything to have a good time. But I do quite often buy stuff. And then you got to figure out, oh, God, I just bought, you know, 4 meals here. I got to do something with it. And that's great.
Since now that we are able to travel relatively freely, how often do you plan to spend, you and your wife plan to spend in Paris?
Well, we've been coming back twice a year. I kind of initially thought we would be staying there full time. So we actually applied for the visa and we're getting all of the stuff for the carte de séjour. But as it turns out, I've only been there 90 days at a time. So you can still do that without having any additional documentation. And because the weather in Paris is rather kind of unbearable during the summer with all of the people, we don't go there. And Hawaii is beautiful all the time. So we tend to go in the fall and then in the spring and avoid the heavy winter time, you know, January, February, March, and avoid the mid June, July, August. So we're there, you know, every 3-4 months, and it's working out pretty good.
You said that you were interested to live here full time. Why would you want to live in Paris full time? I understand the weather aspect of it, but are there other reasons that you might want to live here full time?
Yeah, actually, the cultural environment is really, you know, significant. You know, it's great to live on Maui. It's a rural place, though. I mean, we have 150,000 regular people who live there. So there's not really that much going on. We have, I think, three theaters, you know, and there's the cultural center. But, you know, there's that much in my arrondissement, let alone what's in the rest of Paris. The culture in Paris and the food is just spectacular. And it's, you know, people say it's expensive. I think it's relatively moderately priced. You just have to choose what to do. It's kind of like the wine selection. You can, you know, spend your 10 to 20 euros on a great bottle of wine, or you can spend 80 and 100. It just depends on where you're at and what you know. And we've met a good community of friends. So going over to their house for dinner, having them over to our house for dinner, it gives us quite a active social life. Actually, more so than on Maui. And people are kind of saying, wow, you sounds like you go out all the time over there. And we do.
And you should.
Yes, exactly. That's why we're there.
For our listeners who are interested to purchase property in Paris, what advice could you give them?
Well, I would recommend that you look around, and you also, you kind of set some parameters of what you want. Do you want to be in a place that has a lot of amenities to it, or do you want some seclusion? You need to think about walking. I'm fine with walking, but there are some people I know who are not that comfortable with it. And Paris is kind of a walking city. So if you don't want to walk a lot, you know, make sure you're near a metro or an area where a lot of things are accessible. And go inside. It's very deceptive. The exteriors and interiors are not the same. And because, I guess, the way people renovate, sometimes you go to an apartment and it's from the 50s. And then sometimes you're going and it's from the 70s. So you got to look at it to really get a feel for it. You can't just kind of say, oh, it's in this area, I know what it's like. And block to block, you know, there is differences. And that's what we found. You know, I've been to the 11th before and actually down Voltaire, but I had never been up Alexandre Dumas. It's a great little street. And it's near Père Lachaise, so walking up that way is great. And then if we want to do the République walk, you know, it's a straight way, so it's not like you got to go all around and get lost. And by now we know the place, but it's definitely, I'd say, a place to see. You can't, I hear people buy sight unseen. I don't know that I would think that's a very good idea.
Tell us when you plan to come back.
Okay, we're actually coming back in October in about 3.5-4 weeks. Like I said, we want to be there for the holidays. You know, Paris is great, the city of lights. And between the food, yes, once again, I'm back for the food. You know, the holiday season, everybody has great menus, the foie gras, the chestnuts, you know, all of that stuff is there. And in Maui, it's warm. It'll be 70. So there it gets cold. I can wear these, you know, jackets and the sweaters and things that I've collected over time. So, yeah, we'll be there for a couple of months, actually. I did recall last time we were there, it started snowing and I was kind of like, oh, maybe it's time to go back home. But I'm ready to tough it out this time.
Well, Tony, we really appreciate your sharing your story, your experience. Your experiences on the Paris Property Chronicles. And I hope you have an excellent high school reunion and have a great time. And I'll see you back here when you come back to Paris in the fall.
Very good. It was very good to speak with you, and it was a pleasure.
I'm Yolanda Robbins. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Paris Property Chronicles, property tailored for you.